Welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast for the week. What is today? March 22nd? No, it's not anywhere near that.
Not even close.
March 18th?
It's the 18th.
Yes. Today is March 18th, and we'll probably have this up on the 19th, 20th, or 21st.
Yes. Sometime
as we
that.
Do. How's it going?
Wait, who are you?
Oh, that's right. I've got to introduce myself because we might have new listeners. I am Garth Nelson of ReachMahjong.com, and with me is...
Jen Barr.
And our producer, Troy Presley. Thanks for coming. And a special guest, Luna. You're Pomeranian?
She's a Papillon.
Yes, Pomeranian, Papillon, they're pretty much all the same.
Pomeranian Papillons are actually really good mixes. They have really good hair and they're really cute.
See, I had a feeling. That's why I said that.
Oh, she thinks it's time to leave.
We just started, Luna. All right, yes, now that you know who we are, let's see. I played a pretty solid 2 weeks of Mahjong up until this week, and then I seem to be taking a few days off, although I've been playing a little bit of Fight Club. But I know you had a good weekend of Mahjong, yes?
Yep.
You had a guest event down in Kobe, was it?
Near Kobe. In Himeji, uh-huh. Which really the only thing in Himeji. Luna's making her bed now. That's the sound you hear. She's going to take a nap, I think.
Fantastic.
Good girl, Luna. Okay. So they only have the Himeji castle, basically. That's the only
thing they have in Himeji, besides their Mahjong parlor run by...
Well, yeah, it's part of the chain of Kaori Shimizu.
Uh-huh.
So she has a chain called Blue Dragon, which she's basically the face of.
Blue Dragon?
Yeah.
Interesting. Is that supposed to be the Green Dragon, which they often mistake for blue?
Maybe, but the Blue Dragon in that parlor is actually the White Dragon.
Whoa. It was so cold that the White Dragon turned blue.
I suppose. Well, what they have is... It's kind of like a shirobochi.
I see.
Which is a white dragon that has like a little diamond on it.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like that, but the thing is if you reach, you can use that as your winning tile if you'd sumo it any time after you reach.
Any time after reaching.
So it's not just the... Usually for the shirobochi, right. the diamond one, it's only for the first turn after you reach.
Right.
But yeah, this parlor you can do it any time after you reach.
It's a wild tile any time afterwards, huh?
Yep. Only if you draw it.
Very interesting.
And if you discard it, you're not Furiten or anything like that. You don't have a missed win. You're just made a mistake.
That would suck, yeah. You throw that away and then you are automatically... You can only sumo after that.
Yeah, no, you don't become missed win or Furiten. You just...
And obviously it's not a wild tile before you reach two then. So it only becomes wild if you draw it after you reach.
Right. Okay. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, so we went down there. It was me and Kaori and also Izumi Yukiko.
Oh, wow.
Or Yukiko Izumi, which we also have a an interview of on our website.
Oh, yeah. Our interview with her was from, a year or so ago?
Maybe two years ago. Yeah. We haven't done an interview in quite a long time.
Were there a lot of people at the parlor?
There were. It was the 7th or 8th anniversary.
Oh, I see.
Like, usually we get called for the anniversary events.
Uh-huh.
It was the 7th or 8th anniversary, so we went there and played for 2 days.
The first day
I won, second day I lost more than probably I ever have.
Really?
50 yen. They're pretty close.
The rate at that at the parlor is 50 yen?
Yeah, 50 yen. And 100 yen bonuses.
Uh-huh. And it's Tompusen, or...
No.
East only? So it's east and south routes.
Yeah. And also the blue dragon, if you draw it, then it's an extra 200 yen, an extra bonus. So
sounds like fun. Yes, I have not been working anywhere except for Sentenbo, so I get pretty locked into that game. I've been pretty surprised when I've gone to play at, I used to work at Reds. Reds is East only rounds. Man, my East only game sucks. I can't play for crap right now, East only. I play too... slow. I'm not attacking. And you know, East only rounds, you pretty much gotta just be attacking all the time.
Right. Well, so we did a little bit of sightseeing on the morning of the second. Like, usually when we go to the Blue Dragon events, it's really quick. We get there and we basically go straight from the airport or the train station straight to the parlor. Play for 7 hours, go home and sleep, or go to the hotel and sleep, come back, play, and then right when we're done, we go straight to the airport or straight to the... Yeah, there's really no time. But on Sunday morning, actually, Kaori and I went to the Kitty Cafe.
Kitty Cafe.
Yeah, and it's not a cat cafe. They have cat cafes in Tokyo lately, but it wasn't that. It's the Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty Cafe.
The Hello Kitty Cafe. And apparently it's the only one in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
And I would have thought there'd be more with the popularity of Hello Kitty in this country.
Yeah, but it's linked up with Paris Mickey, which is the eyeglasses store.
Huh.
And so it actually has Hello Kitty with glasses on it. There's some images of her with glasses. So
at the Hello Kitty Cafe.
Yeah, so we went and got a coffee there and took some pictures. And then after that I went to... I have some... I don't know what you'd call them. Some fake brothers. they're like my Japanese family. They live in Osaka, so they came and picked me up after. In Himeji, and we went to Kobe. And I saw a wild boar walking on the street.
That doesn't sound very wild.
He's just walking across the street.
Sounds pretty civilized, this boar.
Yeah, and he had a couple friends with him.
So you saw a few wild boars.
Well, I only saw one, but the guy in the back seat saw two.
Wow, so there is more in Himeji than just the Himeji Castle.
Well, that was in Kobe.
Right, but there's also the Hello Kitty
Cafe. Yes, yes, Kitty Cafe. Yes, that's true. And there's a shoe store that Kaori loves.
The sights to see in Himeji. All right, well, that sounds like a fun weekend. My weekend, getting into some of the Mahjong news, was spent at the Nihon Open.
Oh, right.
Actually, I didn't spend the whole weekend there. I only spent Saturday there because I crapped out. I made it to game 5 of day 1. I did well enough in the first 4 games to make it to the 5th game. But already by the 5th game, I had a pretty weak score. I was going to need a big score to win in the 5th game to go on to the 6th game. And I was at... do you remember Abe, who was in JPML when we started? He was at my table, and he was also in pretty much the same boat as I. And we were both kind of attacking right from the start, and we both just took the major dive.
Wow.
And gave all of our points to the other guys who were already in pretty good shape and then just were in better shape.
Did you realize you were kind of lucky to be at the same table as him? He used to be the Phoenix Cup holder.
I definitely felt like, wow, this is a pretty cool table to be at. Or at least, you know, pretty cool chance to play with somebody of that level.
Yeah, I know that, like, there's some people in A2, at least before, I've heard stories, and, you know, they would be like, if there's a special event, they might go up to him and say, like, you know, can I play with you? Like, kind of request it, because he's really good.
he is, and it's, but, you know, and that's something that's interesting to see, is really, really good players losing. Because you forget that you know, it happens. It is, in the end, a game of luck, and sometimes, even though players are really good, they're going to lose. I figure that's why I lost, too, right?
Of course. Why else would you lose?
It was a little...
That's why I lose every day.
Yes. Because you're so good. Yeah, I did. I played great the first game, won the first game. I was killing the second game. Second game, I had 50,000 points. I had 49,000, like, 700 points going into the first hand of the South Round. I'm 30,000 points in the lead. How can I lose this game? I'll tell you how I can lose this game. I cheated a tile to get to ready when I had... That gave me three colored runs, that assured three colored runs. Plus, if I got the nine of dots, then I would also have Junchan, the pure outside hand. And I also had a lucky dragon. So nine would give me Mangan. But I could also win off the six because I had three colored runs. So I cheat there. And what should happen but the next draw that makes the guy on my right reach, the dealer had to go for it because he was really, really far in the hole. So he starts going for it. He, of course, throws this guy's winner first hand. Oh, 8,000 points to this guy. Next is my turn as dealer. This guy keeps going for it after the old dealer reached again, and I gave up because, you know, I'm way in the lead. What do I need to attack for? So this guy gets another 1,500 points. Then it's his turn as dealer. What does he do? He draws 6,000 points from each of us. another first draw win after the reach. He had reach Ipatsu, so the first turn draw. three colored runs. There's another two plus the simples and Adora. Oh wow, sweet 6,000 points. So then he jumps into first place. Then he took another 3,000 off me, and then the last turn, the last guy's turn as Oya, as dealer. He drew four concealed triples. 16,000 points from all of us, and whoop, he jumps up into first place from, like, he had, like 15,000 points.
So just like that, you're in third.
I'm in third. I'm still positive on the game. I have 38,000 points, and yet for the whole game, I actually, you know, so I've gained 15,000 points in that game, or 13,000 points in that game, and yet I still end up with a minus two. because of the Uma there, which, oh god, that was really annoying.
Yeah, I had one of those. Well, it wasn't exactly like that. I thought I played it really, really, really well.
Uh-huh.
I was playing Fight Club a couple days ago, and I've dropped down to Blue Dragon again, like, over and over again, and now I cannot win three games in a row for the life of me.
to the Yellow Dragon?
Yeah. So I won two games in a row, and I'm on my third game, and it's three player. So, okay, well, I'm going to at least try. And I get to second place, first of all, and it's the third hand of the East round, so I still have lots of chances left. But the person who's dealer in the last hand of the East round, he has only, like, 4,000 points. So I can't win off of him with anything more than, you know, 3,900.
Right.
So I make a hand that's Mongon's, 8,000 points. And he discards my winner. So I let it go. And then I come around and I draw my winner. And that puts me just a 2,000 point difference from first place. Perfect, right? And he hasn't busted out, so we're still going and it's my deal. And I have, like, a hand that looks like it's going to be so easy to win. And it wasn't. So, but I think the other guy, the guy who only was, who's down to, like a couple hundred, he won the hand. So, okay, well, that's fine. That's no problem. You know, we can keep going. And then the next hand, I was ready, and I had 1, 2, 3, 4 of BAMs. 7, 8, 9, 9 of BAMs. I had Pont, the 8 of BAMs. And I had some, I had, like, a 3 Souths or something like that. So this was, like, a perfect hand to put me into first place.
First place, yes.
Because I'd have at least 3,900, maybe more. So have to choose to discard the 1 of BAMs or the 9 of BAMs. And I have the 8 of BAMs pawned.
Right.
So, of course, I discard the 1 of BAMs.
That's
so I'm waiting for the 6, 9 of BAMs. And then a couple turns later, I draw the 1 of BAMs.
Of course.
And then
that's the way these things work.
Yeah. And a couple turns after that, I discard the first place's 12,000 point hand.
Oh!
Yep.
That sucks.
And I think I played that really well because I was really paying attention to who was first and, you know, I was really going for the first place win. And I was talking to somebody in A2 this past week, and we're talking about, like, prize pool distribution in Mahjong tournaments and how usually the first place is really big and then second place is half of that or less.
So
there's a huge difference. And they said, because Mahjong is a game where you're always going for first place at the table, so they don't, most places think that they don't want to make it so that people think it's okay to take second place. They always want it to be a situation where everybody's trying for first place only. So I think I really, like, you know, was going for first place in that game and I really played it well and then...
That's certainly the way they make it happen in the Japan Open. You know, not only they have a 10-30 minus 10 minus 30 UMA or placing bonus, but then there's the 5,000 point ante at the beginning of the game too.
Right.
So the effective bonus is actually more like plus 45 for the winner, which is huge. You know, I mean, it's a difference of 40 points between the winner and the second place player.
Right.
So you really in the Japan Open really want to just be aiming for first. And let me go over some of the players that did make it, did move on a little bit farther than I did. There were some big names at the tournament. Sakagawa from A1, Sarukawa also was in my block, although I didn't play him. Somebody got mail.
Please, all you listeners, put your phones on vibrate.
No interruptions. Masuda, Fujisaki, and Nakata were also all there. Some people who made it up to the next day were Mochizuki, Yoshida, and Ishikawa. And in the semifinals, Nakamura from A2 has made it on to the final four, or like, I don't know, the final eight games. The semifinals, which will be played at the 27th and 28th, so 2 weeks from or a week from this week. So congratulations to Nakamura. He killed it the first day, and then he did pretty well on the second day too, to go on to the next round. Whee! Somebody's here. All right, so that's the Japan Open, which is run by the Japan Pro Mahjong Association, Nihon Pro Mahjong Kyokai. In America, the United States Pro Mahjong League. Before I go on to them.
Before you go on to them, Jamie Johnston, our book reviewer.
Yes.
He actually played in the Japan Open. He played in a qualifier in Niigata.
Really?
Yep.
How did he do?
He was doing really well, I think. Maybe I have this wrong, but he was doing really well, and then in the end he took third or fourth place.
Yes, I know that feeling. It is pretty much what happened to me.
It was a really small qualifier, I think.
Yeah, this one, after that that game where I was comfortably in first place and then dropped down to third, I couldn't get anything. God, it was amazing. I wrote down one of my hands and showed it to people afterwards, and they were like, "Oh, your tiles are dirty." And I was like, "Pai wa kitanai yo." It was pretty amazing. I had like one of each dragon, and then two wins, one of each of them, and then I had and it wasn't really good enough to go for Kokushimuso, like 13 orphans either. I just had eight of those tiles.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had, like, you know, 1-1-2-5 of dots, and then 5-5-8 of characters. And I was just like, what am I going to do with this crap, you know? So, and that was my one turn as dealer. That was another thing that really frustrated me about the Japan Open was they had a lot of you know, amateur players, which, you know, I don't have anything against amateur players, except for the fact that some of them were extremely inexperienced, mm-hmm. and they really slowed the game down, so that in my last two games, I also only got one turn as dealer.
Mm.
I didn't get my second turn as dealer, and it really made it difficult for me to get any points, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a difficult way to finish the Japan Open for me, although I did get to play at the same table with Abe in the final game. congratulations also, or yes, way to go, Jamie, for playing in the same tournament.
Yeah, I didn't even play. Yeah.
All right, moving on to the United States Professional Mahjong League. They will be holding their inaugural Learn to Play Reach Mahjong event.
Yes.
That'll be happening next week.
That's the notice I forwarded you, probably.
Oh, yes, I did get that one. They'll be holding that on March 23rd. From 6 to 10 p.m. in New York City, and they'll have free food! Free food! Can you believe that?
Maybe I should go.
Yeah. But more important than the free food is, of course, the free mahjong instruction, I think. That sounds like the main attraction to me, and I would, of course, like to go, except that I'm all the way over here in Japan.
Yeah, that's a great idea, though.
It is pretty good, yes. So if you would like to, if you'd like to participate... I think it's probably pretty open to everyone. On Facebook, the invitation was kind of a private invitation, but I think if you get in touch with them, they will certainly be welcoming you. The address to use is Charlyn, Charlyn.
Is that Charlyn or Charlyn or Charlene?
I'm not sure, that's the name I was having problems with last time.
Sorry.
Didn't
Sorry
know how to
again
pronounce it.
That I okay. didn't look it up.
Perhaps
in the
Charlyn.
Past 3 weeks.
Charlyn at uspml.com. If you'd like to RSVP for that event. It looks like it'll probably be a lot of fun. They've had a couple good events already with people that already have some experience playing mahjong, so this is your chance to get in if you don't think you have the confidence to play. Yeah. Your ticket to any mahjong event anywhere. Speaking of mahjong events anywhere, this weekend, Jen and Garth, your fearless podcasters will be heading to Taiwan for one of the World Series of Mahjong qualifiers going on in Taiwan. So I don't actually know that much about this event. Can you say a little bit about it?
Well, there's going to be three official qualifiers outside of Macau, as far as I know. One is in Taiwan, one will be in Japan, and one will be in Australia. So this is the Taiwan one. It's the first one, I believe, of the series.
Uh-huh.
And so we were invited to play. So we're going to hop on a plane today and go over there, play
in
the event.
That does sound exciting.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how many players are invited to participate?
I don't know how many. I'm guessing it's somewhere around 100 or so.
100.
But I'm not sure.
And this will be, it's a qualifier to participate in the main event?
Yeah.
Okay. And there aren't any qualifiers to participate in the high roller event?
No. Okay. As far as I know, there are not any. We could put one together, but it'd be like $1,000 each.
Right. Exactly.
One table.
Yes. Although we do have qualifiers for our own Reach Mahjong event.
Yeah. So the official main event qualifier in Japan is going to be on July 31st.
And
I think
Tokyo.
I think it's going to be in Shinjuku.
Shinjuku, all right.
We have a venue on hold. We just need to kind of take a look at how many players and see what the value is. Also, we are having the 4th ReachMahjong.com Cup on the 28th of March.
That's right. So, yes, if any of you are in Tokyo, please stop on by the Mahjong Parlor in Hachiobori. Well, actually... Yep. Give us a call first to let us know you're coming, and we can tell you exactly where it all
is. Yeah, a call or an email, or if you come on the day of, you can certainly play. We won't be full this time. I think there will be an overlay, so
if you are
in Tokyo, this is going to be the best value tournament to play in.
You're making money by playing in this tournament, even if you lose.
Because we're sponsoring the packages this time. So the website reachmahjong.com is sponsoring the winners' packages. So we will have a package every time. We'd like to get 40 players in each one, but even if we have 20, we're still gonna all go right. on with the show. So you are getting value by playing. So come on down.
That sounds good. Good for the crowd.
Yeah.
So the qualifier brings me to our strategy talk for today. I would like to talk about how we change our play. When we switch from the Reach rules that we usually play to the World Series of Mahjong rules, which we've only really played, serious competitively once, although we did have quite a few practice sessions when we were getting ready for the World Series a couple years ago.
Actually, I played the first year as well.
Oh, that's right, you did.
So I played competitively twice.
Okay. First of all, I do want to ask, do you know, have there been any changes to the rules since we last played? Any... I don't know, improvements or changes, things that people ask for?
As far as I know, there have been no changes announced.
No changes announced.
So that doesn't mean there won't be any before the main event, but at this point, there are not any.
They're the same rules that they were 2 years ago. Yeah. Okay, so how about you? What do you change about your playing style from Reach Mahjong when you go to the World Series of Mahjong rules?
I think I look for concealed hands less.
Yes.
That's definitely the biggest one.
What would be your reasons for opening up your hand more than you would in Reach Mahjong?
Well, in the World Series... in Reach, the reason why you would, keep it concealed is because there's so much more value in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hands that have a one hand point penalty
uh-huh.
if you open your hand, and also you can't reach. And especially if you have the Ippatsu Ura,
uh-huh.
first turn win in the Hidden Doras, then there's so much value in reaching.
Well, that's true. I hadn't thought of it in the direction of why we keep our hands concealed so much in reach. But yes, that is a huge point, the fact that you would like to reach. And obviously, if your hand is open, you can't reach any longer.
Yeah, and in the World Series, it doesn't really lose value if you open your hand. The
right.
only thing you can't get is a concealed hand,
triples,
which is... Yeah. No, just a concealed hand, which is 5 points.
Oh, right.
So.
There are concealed triples hands. Also, yes.
Yes.
That was the only other hand I could think of that was that needed to be concealed. Yes, that was the main point I had, was that there is no penalty for opening up hands. A 30-point hand, open or closed, is generally still a 30-point hand, unless it's the concealed triples hands or the basic concealed hand, self-concealed draw hand. And one other point I wanted to make, which is, I don't know, it's kind of a little bit of crap talking, but I think it doesn't hurt you to open up your hand in the World Series rules also, because most of those players are not really watching what's going on the rest of the table. I think, in Chinese Mahjong, there is not nearly as much of a benefit to playing defense as there is in Japanese Mahjong.
Right.
And the World Series of Mahjong rules don't totally take all of the benefit, or don't totally make all of the benefit of playing defense in Reach Mahjong the same as it is in the World Series rules, but they do kind of go in that direction, so that it's still, you still do get a fair amount of benefit by playing defensively and watching what's going on the table. But I think a lot of the Chinese players are just not used to playing that way, and they go to the World Series Mahjong and they're just playing, they're going willy-nilly for whatever. And there I am opening up my hand, it should be fairly clear what I'm aiming for, and then people are just throwing my winning tile all the time. It was pretty amazing. I was aiming for very expensive hands all the time, and quite often opening up my hand, so it was not difficult to see what I was aiming for, and people still just threw my winning tiles.
I didn't feel the same way at the Mahjong Super Cup, though. The Mahjong Super Cup, I felt like the players were very experienced in their game. It was a Taiwanese game.
Right.
I felt like they were very experienced, and that even if they weren't watching, they already kind of knew what you were going for. That's how I felt more like that in the in the Mahjong Super Cup with the Taiwanese rules. And
I definitely felt I was handicapped in that game, having less experience with those rules than the rest of the players.
Right.
At the World Series of Mahjong, I definitely felt like I had the advantage, coming from a Reach background and still being sort of in the same boat as everybody, not having a lot of experience with those rules per se.
Right.
Still felt like having experience with the Reach Mahjong rules gave me an edge that the Chinese players did not have. Do you find, like, what hands do you tend to aim for when you're playing the World Series rules? Are there hands that you aim for more there than when you're playing Reach, or do the hands generally kind of seem to be the same?
I think actually they're very similar. I mean, you go for a lot of half flushes, or a lot of flushed hands, so half or full flushes, and also a lot of three-colored runs. They have a lot. I mean, they're just worth so much.
Right. The three-colored runs doesn't lose any value when it's open.
Right.
Also, there's no missed win rule, the missed win rule is very, it's very open.
Yeah.
So even if, you know, the wrong tile comes out, you can still win on the correct tile to get three-colored runs just by waiting.
Yeah.
And you can even throw your winning tile if it's not the tile that you want to be winning on, right?
Right. I think that's right, as long as you wait a turn.
Wait a turn, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I found that the three-colored runs, as much as I dislike it in Reach Mahjong, it was my bread and butter at the World Series.
Yeah, and it's worth so much. It's like 35 points,
right,
which is already like 135
right, and
total just from having that, and you pair it with the
outside hand.
Yeah.
Or the piece hand. The best I always thought was to, if you could get the outside hand, a mixed outside or a pure outside hand, with three colored runs, you've got a monster.
Yeah.
And in Reach Mahjong, you know, that ends up being a 2,000 point hand when it's open.
Right.
It's nothing, but open in the World Series rules, it's a monster.
Mm-hmm.
And people, you know, it should be fairly clear what you're going for, and people are just throwing those outside tiles like there's, you know, like they're going out of style.
And the flush hands as well are really big.
Right.
I feel like it's a lot like three-player with the flushes. You can go for flushes pretty easily in the World Series rules.
Yeah, so it'll be fun and exciting to play the World Series rules again finally after a year and a half hiatus from playing those rules. I am excited to get back into that swing. And I do feel also that there is a fair amount of cross training, that it's beneficial to play the World Series rules to get other perspectives and come back to Reach Mahjong.
Right.
And it helps my Reach Mahjong game to play another game. So it'll be fun to play at the World Series of Mahjong qualifier in Taiwan this weekend. All right, and that wraps up our strategy talk. Let's bring it to a close. What's going on this week besides the World Series? Oh, we've got the Grand Prix coming up from the JPML's final event of the season. And then we've got our tournament coming up in
the week after that. So we'll talk about that next week and sign up, come play.
Yes, a few little events to look forward to. All right, if you want to get in touch with us, I am Garth E, GARTHE, at reachmahjong.com. And what is your address?
Jen, JENN, at reachmahjong.com.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll come back to you next week.
See ya.
Oh, yeah. 指すはもちろん100万勝モニーは絶対かけましょうポンチリーチに一発ロー上がれば気分はもう最高場所はかなり寂れたジャンスマージャン